It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane could soon be criminally charged for leaking grand jury information to a newspaper to embarrass political enemies. Reportedly, the grand jury investigating Ms. Kane has recommended charges that include perjury and contempt of court. If Ms. Kane is arrested, she would become the second attorney general in modern history to face criminal charges. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Angela Columbus, who's been following this story. Hello, Angela.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also with us is Philadelphia Daily News political columnist John Baer. Good day, John.
Good morning, Paul. Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having us.
For folks who are trying to get up to speed on this, Angela, explain the controversy here, what exactly the Attorney General is accused of doing.
Well, she is accused of having given information to the Philadelphia Daily News, or her office having provided two documents to the Philadelphia Daily News about a 2009 investigation into a Philadelphia civil rights leader. That investigation was before a grand jury back in 2009 and never resulted in any criminal charges against the civil rights leader, Jerry Mondesire.
So it's now up to Montgomery County District Attorney Risa Vetri Furman to decide whether to affirm the grand jury's findings in this case and arrest Kathleen Kane. What do you think will happen here, John Baer?
Well, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, whether or not the presentment from the grand jury is picked up and actually enforced by Furman. Well, I assume she's going to take some time and go over this pretty closely. We are talking, after all, about the highest law enforcement official in the state. And Risa Furman's in a position to do herself some good. She recently announced that she is not going to seek another term as Montgomery County District Attorney. She's going to run for judge instead. So there's a pretty bright spotlight on her, both in terms of statewide politics and in terms of local politics. I imagine she's going to be careful with this.
Well, what should we know about her, Montgomery County DA, Risa Vetri Furman? Hasn't she had a few well-publicized missteps of her own?
She has. You know, there are a couple of cases that her office handled where, in one instance, there was inaccurate information that was given out about the case. And another instance where there was a lawsuit against the DA's office, which ended up being settled over, again, the handling of a case. But she's also, you know, her name has been mentioned frequently for positions of higher office. So, you know, she does command some respect, at least in political circles. As John mentioned, however, she did. I mean, at one point, actually, her name was being circulated possibly to run for the attorney general's position. But as John pointed out, I mean, she's made it pretty clear that she's not going after that. And instead, she kind of wants to step out of the spotlight a bit and run for judge. I'm not sure how taking on the Kathleen Kane case would allow her to step out of the spotlight, but we'll see what she does.
Right, and it would also, well, you say she's no longer necessarily interested in being attorney general, but that would sort of put her in a position where there might be even a conflict of interest, I would think. But if she's saying she's not interested, then that maybe makes it a moot point.
Well, and
she's,
there are a couple of ironies here, Paul. I mean, Risa Furman is a Republican. Kathleen Kane is a Democrat. Risa Furman was the first woman elected district attorney in Montgomery County. Kathleen Kane, as you know, was the first woman elected attorney general in Pennsylvania. So we have like a nice plotted out historical thing shaping up here. And that just adds to this story, which I think Angela would agree is just an amazing political story from start to finish, when you had the first elected Democrat, first elected woman skyrocketing in political, culture for a year, and now facing possible criminal charges and maybe, you know, being drummed out of office. So it's an incredible story. And even these little tangential things on the edge, what's Risa Furman going to do? She's going to run for judge. She's going to be successful. She's going to bring the charges. All of that just adds to this continuing amazing political story.
It truly is. And, you know, a year ago, could any of you, could either of you have imagined that this would be happening, that we would even be talking about a story like this involving Kathleen Kane?
No. I mean, her name was, you know, golden in Pennsylvania. She was the rising star of the Democratic Party. Her name was being floated for a possible run for governor, possible run for U.S. Senate. You know, she had made some controversial decisions in her first year in office, but all of them actually helped sort of propel her popularity rather than diminish it. So, no, I mean, a year ago she was on a trajectory, you know, I mean, her name was even name dropped at one point as a possible potentially running for president, U.S. president. So she was really sort of the golden child of the Democratic Party. And, you know, fast forward a year and, you know, her legal career and her political career are on the line.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the situation, the developments in the case of Attorney General Kathleen Kane, who could be criminally charged for leaking grand jury information to a newspaper. Reportedly, a grand jury investigating Ms. Kane has recommended charges that include perjury and contempt of court. And we're talking about this with one of the people, one of the reporters who's been following this story closely. In fact, the woman who has helped break the news about what the grand jury apparently has decided, and that would be Angela Columbus, who is a Philadelphia Inquirer reporter talking with us from Harrisburg. Also, Philadelphia Daily News political columnist John Baer. Not to make light of this situation, because it involves some very serious charges, of course, but there is some delicious irony here. I mean, isn't there? John, Kathleen Kane might be criminally charged for leaking grand jury information to a newspaper, and we know this, and we're discussing it now thanks to an apparent grand jury leak to a newspaper.
Sure, and that's at the heart, Paul, of at least part of Kathleen Kane's defense. I mean, her legal team has pointed out that leaks from grand juries to the media are not exactly new or exactly rare, and this is a great example. We have my sister newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, reporting on essentially leaks and from a grand jury, which is what Kathleen Kane now potentially faces criminal charges for. And so the question that the Kane team will raise, and I think it's a valid question, is, what was it about this particular leak that prompted the state Supreme Court to ask for a special prosecutor and a grand jury? Why haven't we seen this happen in other leaks? Why haven't we seen any evidence so far that it's going to happen in this leak? And, you know, you might draw a case there, particularly if you make the argument, as Kathleen Kane does, that all of this is a vendetta because she's a woman, because she was not a part of the process, because she came in to clean up Harrisburg and beat, as she calls, the old boy network, that people are out to get her. And so that's going to be part of her argument, and we'll see if anybody buys it.
Well, I would throw this out to both of you. Is Kathleen Kane being attacked because of her stand on issues like gay marriage and not enforcing the ban on it because she felt it was unconstitutional? You know, for, in a sense, going rogue, halting a lottery privatization effort by Tom Corbett. I mean, she came right in. She said in her political ad she was going to be tough on crime, and not only was she apparently tough on crime, but tough on some of the people who stood in the way of what she felt were the proper ways to govern. And it certainly did not, it made her some friends, but it made her a lot of enemies as well. Is that part of what is going on here?
I mean, she certainly believes so, and her side has said as much. The other thing her side has said, which I found really interesting over the weekend, they also said that she's being targeted because she came into office and conducted and dared to conduct a review of how her predecessors handled the Jerry Sandusky child sexual abuse investigation, which, as you know, resulted in a report by her office this past summer in which, the report found that there were inexplicable delays in bringing the case against Sandusky, which took about 3 years, and as we all know, was eventually successful. He is in jail now. But it did not find any political tampering by Governor Corbett, who was the attorney general when the investigation was ongoing. So she certainly believes that that also has triggered, this whole examination and inquiry into her actions.
And for her part, Ms. Cain has acknowledged that she knew some material from her office was given to the newspaper in question, but said that the material that she approved for release was not grand jury information. And her allies, those who have come to her defense, have suggested that her staff may have erred by providing additional prohibited information without her knowledge. What about this?
Well, you just summed it up, Paul. That is part of her defense. Her legal team is saying, just as you said, that that material that she provided, she believed was not directly related to the grand jury material. I don't know if that's splitting hairs because I haven't seen the material. I don't know if her own staff misunderstood what she wanted provided to the Philadelphia Daily News. But that is part of the problem here, and presumably that's one of the things that the District Attorney Lisa Furman needs to sort out.
But I guess, John, this is the kind of defense. I mean, this sounds like almost a Nixon defense. I didn't know what my staff was doing. I had no idea that nobody reported back to me on this. I mean, is it possible that an underling of someone from her staff, could have done something like this without her knowledge? Could it have gotten by her like that?
It would seem to be unlikely, and either way, I mean, she is the person where the buck stops, and she is the person that's responsible for the actions of her office. However, this is Pennsylvania, and when it comes to politics in Pennsylvania, I've learned over time that virtually anything is possible.
We're talking with Philadelphia Daily News columnist John Baer and also Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Angela Columbus about developments involving Attorney General Kathleen Cain. And Angela, it was your work that resulted in the story indicating what the grand jury's conclusions are with regard to the fact that they are recommending charges that include perjury and contempt of court. I know this is a difficult question to ask, but I should throw it out there anyway. I mean, how did you find out what the grand jury was thinking? Because presumably all this stuff is supposed to be kept hush-hush.
I'm not going to discuss sources for our story, but suffice it to say we obviously felt confident enough to run the story that said that there was a presentment issued by the grand jury. Having said that, I mean, I want to go back to just sort of the fundamental piece in this is, reporters hate leak investigations, and they hate leak investigations because our job is to gather information, and often it's information that, people in positions of power don't want us to have, or it's often information that's difficult to find. Having said that, this is a story. The grand jury leak investigation into Kathleen Cain's office has been, we've been writing about it for months, and there are many, many reporters who have been aggressively pursuing the story, checking in with people every single day to see where things stand. I think that there is an argument to be made that the public does deserve to know that a grand jury has issued a presentment recommending charges against the state's top law enforcement official, the person in charge of enforcing laws. So, all of that to say that, there is certainly, and I've heard it time and time again, that there's an irony in all of this. But there is a great public interest in it as well.
What happens, Angela, if Kathleen Cain is arrested? What does the state constitution say?
Well, it basically allows most people, most elected officials, to stay in office until, if they are, even when they are charged with misdeeds in office, to stay until essentially they are sentenced for whatever crime they are convicted on. In Kathleen Kane's situation, however, the state legislature could move if she is charged to try and impeach her. And there has been some talk about it. There is a very conservative Republican state representative actually out from Butler County who has actually circulated a resolution to do so, to launch impeachment proceedings against Kathleen Kane.
And John Baer, even if Kathleen Kane survives this, is her reputation damaged beyond repair?
Well, it's certainly damaged, Paul, and heavily so. Just to add a little bit to Angela's answer, the statute would allow. I mean, she has said through spokespeople and her legal team that she would not resign if charged. She would not have to, and in fact, she could be convicted and still be in office. You don't have to leave that office for a felony count until you are sentenced. Longtime Pennsylvania political followers may remember former Treasurer Bud Dwyer, who had been charged, convicted, and was about to be sentenced before he killed himself at a news conference. You had at the top of the show mentioned the other state attorney general, Ernie Preate, a Republican, who was convicted in 1995 after a plea agreement. He did resign. And so, you know, you get to the point where if charges look like they are coming, then public officials generally tend to find a way to gracefully exit. But this doesn't seem to be the case here. So far, she has said through spokesman that she would fight the charges and not resign. And then it's up to the legislature, as Angela suggests, whether or not there is enough Republican support, and they need some Democratic support to go ahead with an impeachment proceeding.
Philadelphia Daily News political columnist John Baer, also with us. Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Angela Columbus with the latest on developments regarding Attorney General Kathleen Kane. Thank you both for being with us, and we'll certainly be keeping an eye on this story.
Paul, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up, we'll talk with the publisher of the New Pittsburgh Courier about its monthly report on black-on-black crime. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.